The word of God given to us today is Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. Allow me to read the text. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to marry to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen. I wish to begin this morning by wishing that you and your family will be filled with the grace and peace of Christmas. In the Bible, there are four individuals who had an experience relating to marriage which was quite unusual. I have, in my own way, ordered them from the least to the most surprising. Starting with number four, it was Boaz who woke from sleep to suddenly find a woman who would later become his wife lying before his feet. Ruth, a Moabitess who had followed her mother-in-law, Naomi, to Bethlehem, did as she was told, and quietly went to the far end of the grain pile where Boaz was and lied down with her garment at that place. In the middle of the night, sensing something strange, Boaz woke up to find Ruth at his feet. Ruth soon married Boaz and became David's great-grandmother and Jesus' ancestor. Number three is Adam. Adam went to sleep a bachelor, but became a husband as soon as he awoke the next morning. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. However, one thing God did not find to be pleasing was Adam living alone by himself. So God put Adam to sleep and took one of his ribs and made Eve, who was then brought before Adam. And Adam and Eve became man and wife. Number two is Jacob. Jacob thought he had married the woman of his choice, only to find out in the morning that he had married someone else. Jacob had come to live with Laban after deceiving Isaac and Esau. Laban had two daughters, Leah and Rachel. And Rachel was much more beautiful than Leah. In those days, a man needed to have dowry to marry a woman. And since Jacob had no property, he offered to work for 7 years without pay. In order to marry Rachel, Jacob worked 7 long years. However, to Jacob, who loved Rachel very much, the years passed like a few days. After 7 years, he finally was able to marry Rachel. But when he woke up after the day of the wedding, he learned that he had married Leah instead of Rachel. that Leah, he realized that he had married Leah instead of Rachel. In order to marry Rachel, Jacob had to work another 7 years for Laban. Number one is Joseph, Mary's husband. Joseph learned through a dream while asleep that Mary, whom he was engaged to, was pregnant, and he had nothing to do with it. Joseph had become a father overnight without his knowledge. Joseph, when he first learned that Mary was with child, must have been quite disconcerted. However, Mary was even more taken aback. Angel Gabriel, who had visited Zachariah, came to visit Mary, who was living in the town of Nazareth in Galilee. After greeting Mary, Gabriel said, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." He then went on to say, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Of the many women living at that time, Mary was chosen to receive God's grace. However, even though she had received God's special grace, it was difficult for a virgin to accept the fact that she would give birth to a child. And that is why Mary asked Gabriel the following. Verse 34. "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Elizabeth, wife of the priest Zechariah and Mary's relative, received the prophecy even though she was not in a state to be able to bear a child. She had been barren, and the time to bear children had long passed for Mary. However, there were others who had been in the same situation as Elizabeth and had still given birth. Hannah had been ridiculed by Peninnah because she was barren, but later gave birth to Samuel. And Sarah gave birth when she was 90 years old. However, Mary was a different case. In Elizabeth's case, although it was a rare event, it was humanly possible. Whereas for Mary, what would happen to her was not humanly possible. That is why Mary asked, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Not knowing man means she had not slept with a man. In chapter 11 of Judges, there is a story of Jephthah. Before going out to fight the Ammonites, he made a vow to the Lord by saying, "If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." God went with Jephthah, and he returned after a great victory in his war against the Ammonites. However, when he returned to his house, the first to meet him was his only daughter. After hearing of her father's vow, she said, "Give me 2 months to roam the hills and weep with my friends, because I will never marry. She returned after 2 months and died a virgin. Judges 11 verse 39 testifies as follows. After the 2 months, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed, and she was a virgin. The village where Jephthah lived in was occupied by many men and women. Therefore, the part that says Jephthah's daughter was a virgin means that she did not sleep with a man. The Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve lived, was a perfect environment. However, they were driven out of the garden when they ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which had been banned by God. They then had children and started living on this land. Genesis 4 verse 1 testifies as to the life they led. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." The words lay and marry mean the same thing. Mary's question to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" was therefore a natural reaction. If people came to know that she had become pregnant while engaged, she would have been stoned to death according to the law at that time, or divorced by Joseph. Gabriel's answer to Mary's question is provided in verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary's question, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" was a question about the child's origin. When Nicodemus, the leader of the Jews, came to Jesus with a question, Jesus told him that he must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. To this, Nicodemus asked in return, "How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered as written in John 3, verse 5. "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." This means that being born again is the work of God, not something that can be done by human. Gabriel's answer to Mary's question is the same, saying, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you," means that it was the work of the Almighty God, something that had never happened and never will happen in the history of mankind. When the Holy Spirit descends upon us and we are overshadowed by the power of the Most High, the works of God that does not go against reason but goes beyond our mind are revealed to us. That is because God creates something from nothing. Many men of God in the Bible experience the overshadowing of the power of the Most High. How would have Abraham, a dishonorable man that lied about his wife being his sister in order to save himself, become the father of faith? This was only because God's power overshadowed him. Man's life is at most 70, 80. How could Moses have led the Israelites for 40 years? It was because God's power overshadowed him. And how could David, a lowly shepherd, defeat a general over 3 meters tall? And how could he become a wise ruler after stealing his servant's wife and inciting murder? It was because God's power overshadowed him. And how could have the ignorant fisherman from Galilee, who did not understand the Lord even after following him for 3 years, later become his faithful disciples? Also, how could Saul, who had thought nothing of persecuting the followers of Jesus, become a devoted servant of God? There is only one answer. The power of the Most High had overshadowed them. How can we, who are dreadful human beings, become the children of God and enjoy the blessings of a God who goes before us? The answer is the same. The power of the Most High has overshadowed us. Mary's final answer to Gabriel's words is written in verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary confesses that she is the Lord's servant. A female servant in Greek is called a doula. When Apostle Paul wrote his letters to the Christians in Rome and Philippi, he confessed that he is the servant of Jesus Christ. Servant in Greek is doulos, which means slave. The feminine form of the word is doula. In our church, we hold a welcoming ceremony for newly joined members once a month. We have a meal together, introduce the grave sites of the Yanghwajin foreign missionaries, and give a detailed introduction of our church. And then the pastor and his spouse introduce themselves, and the new members in turn introduce themselves. We had a welcoming ceremony last Thursday on December the 18th. One member said that he was deeply moved by the pastors of our church, describing them as the honorable servants. I was thankful that he had referred to us in such nice terms. However, the word servant does not go along with the word honorable. There is another word that goes along with the word servant. It is expressed through Mary's confession. The most fundamental characteristic of a servant is that of someone who belongs to a master and who does not have any plan or mind of his own. If a servant tells his plans to his owner, or if he refuses to follow his owner's orders, he would no longer be a servant. That is why Mary says, "May it be to me as you have said." On December 9th, we held a special night event for our volunteer workers who had provided their services to the church this past year. That night, as part of a comedy skit, one of the teams sang "Let It Be" with new lyrics. It went like this. Our administration team always cleans ahead, preparing for Sunday. We sweep and wipe the body of Christ, creating a beautiful church. The next day, I went to the worship hall that I cleaned. Happy with the work I had done, but back again, back again, back again, back again. Someone made a mess of it all again. As you may well know, "Let It Be" is a song by the Beatles. The first part of the song goes like this. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, "Let it be." And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, "Let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be." Whisper words of wisdom, "Let it be." Paul McCartney, who wrote this song, had lost his mother to breast cancer when he was only 14. And his mother's name was Mary. Later, Paul McCartney acquired both fame and wealth as a member of the Beatles. But there was always a part of him that longed for his mother. Then he wrote this song when he met his mother in his dream during a time when he felt the burdens of life. It is understood that Mother Mary in this song has a double meaning, referring both to his mother and the mother of Jesus. "Let it be" can also be interpreted as leaving it to the laws of nature or leaving it alone. When we don't know how to unknot the complicated knots in our lives, and when we feel like we are trapped in a dark valley and feel like we can't come out, and when life is like walking through a deep, dark tunnel without knowing when it will end, can it really be solved by saying, "Let it be, leave it to nature"? Also, after determining to depart from the old lifestyle of drowning in pleasure, pursuing worldly values, and the life of engaging in unjust and immoral acts to achieve success, would we be able to live a new life merely by saying, "Let it be, leave it alone? That is not so. When Mother Mary heard the incredible news that she would bear the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, she did not simply say, "Let it be, leave it alone, leave it to nature." According to the ESV Bible, Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Meaning she would submit herself to the word of God and leave it to the natural law of God's words. To live a new life is to let it be according to your word, God's word. Today is the day on which we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to save us. Mary answered, "Let it be," to the word of God, which she said she would give birth to the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And through Mary, the Most High, who existed through words since infinity, came to this earth in flesh and blood. His name is Jesus Christ. We are all attending this worship service to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We who can genuinely celebrate the birth of Jesus are the ones who can say, "Let it be," to God's words. So that to those who can say, "Let it be," to God's words every day will be Christmas. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Merry Christmas. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together for this service worship and to celebrate the coming of the Lord 2,000 years ago to this world. By saying, "May it be to me as you have said," Mary became the pathway through Jesus came to this world. As we reflect on our past, instead of saying, "Let it be," in the context of God's word, we have often said, "Let it be," in the context of our worldly values and desires and ambitions. That is why, although we have had as many Christmases as the number of years we have been alive, it has had no more meaning than a regular church event. From today, let us say, with respect to our life and values, "May it be according to the word of God," so that each day of our lives may be like Christmas Day, and allow us to live each moment within the peace and hope of Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.